Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 Cairo International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Lucien Bourgelli. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for hosting me.
So it's a great pleasure to talk with you. You're presenting the film Heaven Without People here at the festival, which I watched yesterday and I thought it was great. And I'm happy to talk with you about it. But for the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with it yet, would you like to introduce it and say a few words about it?
It is a film about a family joining for Easter lunch. And it's mostly related to kind of relationships about their past, their present, and in a way or another about their future. And going us as an audience to their very intimate moments and watching something, kind of something that we shouldn't, are not supposed to be watching, something that's supposed to be hidden inside the closed doors of the family.
Right, and the kind of element of the family seems to be very important also because it's not your typical kind of conventional depiction of the happy family, let's say.
Well, yeah, of course there is a moment where the family is happy, but the misery and the happiness of this family in a way is put out there within this this lunch, this Easter lunch, and you understand a lot about the background and what happened before and the history and what the psychological relationships that are there between the family members and the human relationship that is there, but at the same time it's related to the overall situation in Lebanon at the same time, which is something that I wanted to explore to understand better Lebanon. I wanted to explore the first institution, which is the family, and ask the questions that I think needs to be asked, and from that part to go further into deeper into the socio-political situation in Lebanon and in the Middle East in general. But I think this didn't stop the film from being also appreciated in many parts in the world, where people came to me after the screening in many ways and told me we're so surprised that this family, even though 15,000 kilometers away from us, but actually has the same dynamics that we have in our own family, whether when it was in screened in Miami Film Festival or in California and LA Film Festival or CineQuest, many places around the world. And I was also very interested in that perspective, where if only names and a bit of the political or socio-political talk that is being said is adapted, it just becomes another family in any other part of the world.
Absolutely, and that's true. That's exactly true. And but just so that we kind of maybe even get this out of the way, what has been the reaction in Lebanon in particular? I heard that it wasn't particularly good. Let's say.
From the authorities, it wasn't good. The authorities censored the film because of its content. And unfortunately, it was the only country in the world where the film was shown in a censored way. And anywhere else, including other Arab countries like Dubai and Egypt yesterday, and Morocco and Tunisia, it showed as it is, which is, for me, kind of worrying concerning freedom of speech in the current state of Lebanon.
One of the things that I'm impressed by this film is that, as you mentioned maybe briefly in your introduction to the film, is that it takes place in and around this lunch. So to me, from a filmmaking perspective, there must be so many challenges in kind of trying to make the whole thing cohesive and the tension and taking care of the tension and the rhythm of the film, when in fact the story takes place almost in real time.
Yeah, it's the film is made in one, the family home, all over it, not only on the dinner table, but also in the different, even in the bathrooms or the kitchen or in the, on the balcony. So it's everywhere in this home. It's related to the home because the home of the family is a very special place, meaning that the place where usually behind the doors are hidden a lot of secrets, a lot of things. And at the same time, the time is real time. Yes, it is like an hour and a half of real time happening, because usually this is the usual length of a Lebanese lunch, which is an hour and a half or almost lunch, family lunch. So it takes time during that lunch and all around it. So by the end of it, it's actually, if you notice, it's we get to the dessert. So by the dessert, things have changed. The whole dynamic of the family has changed. And here we have a lot of questions about the future of this family and about the future of the whole country also.
Yeah, I don't want to like say too much about the end because I think it's important to get into the film and just immerse yourself. But I also thought that in the end of the film, questions aren't answered. A new situation appears and you're left wondering, oh, so something... It's almost like there could be another film made about the after of that.
Well, a lot of people actually asked me kind of this question after the usually in Q&As, like if there will be a sequel, because they wanted to know what happens to each of the characters in the film, which I think is a great sign, meaning they got invested in the characters, and the characters meant that they wanted to know more about their future now that they know their past and their present. So I think it's great that this reaction happens, because it means that the film caught the attention of the viewer and made them really think about the well-being of the characters in this family.
Yeah, and speaking of the characters, I guess because there's so many of them and they're all around this table, but also the film takes place in different parts of the house, I mean, performances are so important. It's a great ensemble cast, right? How did you assemble them?
It was a long process. Actually, I concentrated a lot on doing this because I wanted this family to feel as real as possible, as immersive as possible, for an audience to really, as much as possible, not to even think at one moment that it might not be a real family. I even chose people who look alike, like a mother and a daughter, who if you put them really together, even the poster picture, you feel like it's really her daughter because of the same face features, and this helps. And also we got the daughter, the granddaughter was actually the real child of the actress playing the daughter, Christine, which was played by Nancy Karam, and Ivy was her daughter in real life. So also it helped because it created a certain very nice dynamic between them on screen. So mainly that was a very big focus for me, because if you do not get immersed in the family, it's not as intense for you, the whole experience. So yeah, choosing them, it took 6 months. We had a call, 2,500 people applied. We didn't only ask for actors, we asked for actors and non-actors, and mostly all of them didn't have it was their first cinema feature experience. And we worked also as a workshop, acting workshop, because this is also something I do. I teach acting. So we had this portion of the work, which was workshops all day long, all of them together, ensemble, with like a camp, almost like a camp. And then we had rehearsals, a lot of rehearsals, before we even put a camera near them. We had a lot of rehearsals. It almost felt like we created the whole play, and then the camera came to complete the choreography of how and where it will be at any time during this film and the scene, how it's played.
Well, coming from an acting sort of background, do you do you see your type of filmmaking as being almost like importantly driven by the acting itself, by the performances itself?
I personally have a great, not only respect, but love for acting. For me, acting is the ultimate art because it involves the person's own physique and own mental, and it's a very hard thing. Everybody, sometimes a lot of people don't estimate as much as it's hard to really play the part well, portray it well, and leave a lot of things that are personal behind and be able to really go there. So for me, as somebody who loves acting, I really concentrate a lot on it. I try to give everything possible for the actors to feel very comfortable and safe, and to be able to explore and give really the utmost of themselves. And I'm very happy that this cast has received so many good praise, either from the press or even a prize, which is for the best ensemble cast as the Institut du Monde Arabe in France Film Festival. So, I'm very happy that they, and for them also, I'm very happy also to discover new people, because in Lebanon, unfortunately, the educational system doesn't encourage arts and theater and film. So you might have 15 years in school and never watch a film in class, or never do a play or learn acting. So a lot of people go unnoticed or not really don't have the chance to do it. So that's why also one of the other things, because this is how I got into it originally. I had to take other classes other than the ones that are, like, I went to university, but at the same time I was by night going to the theater school. So I had to do the choice myself, and I had to make this effort. And I always empathize with the people who are like me, who love it but didn't have the chance to study it at like in a university or in school. And I love when I'm able to reach them and work with them, because they have a certain passion that is really very raw and beautiful.
That's an interesting point. So basically, it's if you want to study art, if you really want to study it, you have to make that choice yourself.
I see it like that, but also it doesn't mean that somebody who actually did the full studies is different. But I mean, in Lebanon, because the education doesn't encourage you in that sense, and nobody encourages you in that sense. If you do it, it's really because you must be very passionate and about it. And also, when you do a casting call and call everybody, especially like the mother and the aunt in the film and the father, it's really their first ever even casting experience. It was the first time, because maybe their daughter sent the casting application. I remember that's what Samira told me, which she played the mom in the film. Her daughter sent the application on her behalf, and inciting her, "You always tell me about acting, but you never do it." And she sent the application, and that was very nice, because, and she came with her, and ultimately we did many castings, the first one and the second one, to make sure that they will all fit together with the other members of the cast. And at the end, when it happened and people were so impressed by it, now they are doing more. Now they are continuing their career. It's not like they just did this film, and because some people noticed how good they are, how talented, and I'm very happy about it. It's like these discoveries for me are another part of why I do it.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, with all this film, you've created such a great ensemble cast, and so many people maybe even got their first go at cinema that they didn't have experiences before. It does make it a little bit more shameful, or it's a shame that it was censored in Lebanon, right?
Yeah, censored, but not banned altogether. That's if you want to look at the bright side, at the glass half empty, half full.
Yeah.
But because, for example, I had two plays I written before that were banned altogether, and that was very disappointing and very, it creates a certain feeling that you don't want to do it anymore. Because if you write a play for 2 years and then it gets banned, it kills your artistic effort, and you feel like, I'm not going to do a third now. I've done 15 plays, but I mean, these two were banned. Now I feel like writing one more play is hard. But as you were just saying, that's why, in a way, where I wanted to go more into film, other than doing my master's in Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, where I studied cinema. But other than that reason, which made me want to do even more cinema, is because also one more thing is that it can go abroad. Theater is much harder to travel to reach out to, and especially if it's banned, you cannot produce a banned play. So if it's not produced, you will never tour with it. But a film that is already produced, even if it gets banned in Lebanon, you can still go around the world.
That's a good point, and thank you for making that point, because it does interesting. Helps you look at it from a different perspective. So thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you. I'm very happy, and I hope that and very big hi to all the listeners out there.
Thank you very much. So I remind our listeners that the film is called Heaven Without People, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.